Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And now Andre Schmidt for the win from 55 yards out. Middle of the field between the hashes. Bohorquez kneels at the 45. 2 seconds left. Snap is back. Kick is up. And the kick is right down the middle. And it's gone. Wait, there's a flag. It's gone. Andre Schmidt nailed it. Green Bay's throwing a helmet.
It's not Green Bay. It's not Green Bay.
Andrew Siciliano on Cleveland Browns Radio. Welcome to the show. That was just one of many wild finishes, Pearl. This one included a blocked field goal that set up that game-winning field goal, and the Browns get their first win of the season. But this game really was more about the Packers and the anatomy of a loss here. And I think some people who had questioned Jordan Love and whether or not in the biggest moments he has the ability to put the team over the top. Well, you left this game thinking the exact same thing, because the Browns defense was all over him. His offensive line could not hold up, but he could not do anything to elevate above that.
Well, I mean, he did get them in position to get the go-ahead field goal.
Right? And it did get blocked. I mean, it was still at that time, the score was, what, 10-0?
10-10.
Or 10-10, excuse me, 10-10. Yes, they won 13-10. Yeah. It was not exactly like inspiring offensive tape.
Yeah, I mean, they ran into a problem. The Browns defense is a problem. Also, too, they lost two offensive linemen, including Zach Tom. That's the main, like, you walk away from that game, and that's all about, are Aaron Banks and Zach Tom going to be good to go? And so Zach Tom, who's a right tackle, had an oblique injury, tried to play, could not. That seems like a bit of a disaster. I mean, Josh Jacobs, 16 carries for 30 yards. I'm not coming away worried about Jordan Love after that game, really, at all. He threw a bad interception. It's very clear that the guy ran the wrong route on that play. He was trying, it was a third down, and somebody was supposed to stop at the first down line, and he threw it right into two Browns defenders, and then he put his hands out like, how did that happen? So I'm absolutely not putting that game on Love, and I think he'll bounce back next week against Dallas.
Well, everybody plays well against Dallas.
Fair.
This is where quarterbacks go to get right. I mean, Russell Wilson looked like he was, you know, had been put in a time machine last week when he got to play against the Dallas defense. So hopefully for Packer fans, Jordan Love does answer some questions, but they were sloppy all over the place. The offensive line was bad. Love was not the difference, and they had 14 penalties in the game. You know, their defense played well, but Micah Parsons, to be fair, did get flagged for a penalty on that final drive that set up that game-winning field goal we just played for you. A lot left on the table there if you're Green Bay. If you really are a Super Bowl contender, you find a way to put away the Browns. Look at what the Ravens did to him last week. That was a very tough first half, and then the Ravens blew him out in the second half.
Yeah, I think the Browns might be kind of salty. Maybe I'm wrong about it. I think they're going
to
play some good teams.
Spoiler, but that's it.
Well, it's in Cleveland. I think that they could have really challenged some good teams. I don't think they were supposed to win yesterday's game. I think Green Bay was supposed to win that.
Yeah, and by a lot.
And then the field goal got blocked. I mean, even at the end. Well, they were favored by 7.5, but the total was only 41 for that game. So everyone expected a low-scoring game. Two really, really good defenses. Yeah, I kind of view this differently. I think this was a function of the Browns' defense more than Jordan Love struggling.
You can weigh in 888-710-4ISN. As for every other game we saw yesterday, let's do the NFL in 60.
Maggie and Perloff take you around the league, recapping this weekend's football action. Time for NFL in 60.
All right, Manny, who's up first?
All right, why don't we start down in North Carolina? We saw some Kirk Cousins. Falcons get shut out by the Panthers 30-0.
I just don't understand, Pearl, how the Falcons have all this offensive talent, right? We see the playmakers, and nobody's been able to make something of it. They missed some field goals in this game. Panthers muff a punt that sets up Atlanta inside the 30. They end up getting pushed back. And the kicker missed a field goal. It was a comedy of errors yesterday.
Why would we ever expect anything different from the Atlanta Falcons? They're going to be 7-10 until the end of the time unless they change their approach. I was so disappointed in Michael Penix yesterday. So disappointed in Bijan Robinson as well. Bijan. He was good. But this is an embarrassment. Like, this is hopefully a game changer for Atlanta wakes up after that game.
All right, the Houston Texans, it's time to sound the alarms. They fall to 0-3 after losing to the Jaguars 17-10.
By the way, I will say this, too. I said the Packers were sort of supposed to win that game. I feel like the Texans were supposed to win this game, and then they made just a couple critical errors at the end of the game and let it even. They were awful for 90% of the game.
So bad.
Came back and tied the game or were driving for the go-ahead field goal and fumbled. And just, again, They're close to winning these games, but the problem is how bad that offense looks. I don't put on C.J. Stroud altogether, but the fact that the line can't protect them and that he doesn't know how to do the quick pass or can't get comfortable with the quick passing game, everything's bad here with this offense.
It's like the offense wants to do everything on hard mode. I don't understand why. And they played two really good teams in the first 2 weeks. They're like, all right, you know, let's give them a minute. Jacksonville was a gettable game, and you're right, they put themselves in position. I look back over my bets on DraftKings. I bet on the Texans every single week, and I've lost every single week. No more.
But that means they'll probably hit. Their defense is still good, though.
No Joe Burrow, a bunch of problems in Cincinnati. 48-10 Vikings over the Bengals.
48-10?
48-10.
Carson Wentz must have gone off.
No, or the Cincinnati Bengals had 5 turnovers.
Yeah, Carson Wentz was actually totally fine, but that score is so deceiving. There was that defense could have scored 50 points if they wanted. They called off the dogs. I am so disappointed in Jake Browning and my Bengals offense. That was just one of those days that got away from them. I have a question for you, Meg. Do you think that this means Carson Wentz could be really good? Could he be the next Sam Darnold there?
How long is he going to play for? Isn't J.J. McCarthy coming back?
So J.J. McCarthy, they're bringing him to Europe. He's going to not play the first game. Then they are something like that, and they hope to rehab him over there. Then maybe he'll play in Europe, but I don't know. I mean, Carson Wentz definitely looked better than J.J. McCarthy.
Well, no doubt. And also the Bengals quit. 5 turnovers, 3 fumbles, 2 interceptions. The Bengals had 171 yards of offense total.
Patriots forgot that they need to cover the football up. They lose at home to the Steelers 21-14.
Speaking of turnovers, the Patriots, 5 turnovers for them, including 2 fumbles by Ramondre Stevenson.
Is that bad?
On near the goal line that stifled 2 drives. How about this, bro? So New England loses yesterday to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Aaron Rodgers throws a late touchdown, okay? Pittsburgh ran 49 plays in that game. New England ran 71 plays. I was like, what were you doing on those plays? Obviously, that's what happens when you cough the ball up deep in your own territory. But that was weird.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers looked like me on the basketball court. Just like sort of the old man who occasionally hits a 3 and lets the young guys do all the work. He did nothing in that game.
That final pass was pretty sweet.
133 total yards. I think I saw a stat, he was 0-for-5 when pressured. He can't move anymore.
He's on the ground a lot these first 3 games.
He can't move, he can't get away.
Coming up, whatever. Eagles beat the Rams over here.
You go ahead. You're the Eagle fan.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Eagles tried to lose that game. The Rams, the Rams had this lead and got comfortable and conservative, which is so funny because it's exactly what the Eagles did in the playoffs last year, and the Rams almost stormed back. I can't believe, explain to me, you can't move the ball, you can't pass it at all for the first 2.5 games, then all of a sudden...
Two and a half games? Yeah. Sorry.
Then all of a sudden, you look like the greatest show on turf. Jalen Hurts is just chucking it all around the building.
See, I was more impressed by this than almost any other Eagles win outside of the Super Bowl. You're down, you fumble on the first drive out of halftime. The fans are booing the bejesus out of you at home. Rams... the next play scored touchdowns 26-7, and you came all the way back and yet another blocked field goal. This one returned for a touchdown by Jordan Davis. I was so impressed by what Philadelphia did. Everything was so stacked against them in this game. They found a way to win. That, to me, shows Super Bowl mettle. I think they're the best team in the NFL.
You know, what about the fact that Puka Nacua did whatever he wanted? What about the fact that Saquon Barkley had tons of negative runs?
Jalen Hurts was so good in the fourth quarter, Pearl. He was using his legs. He was throwing his body around. That was impressive.
That is not what you want.
Well, you want to win the game.
No. I mean, we got to protect Jalen. Jalen Hurts will get injured.
They went on a 17-play drive.
He ran the ball nine times this night. Like, you got it. Like, they do not want Hurts running too much. Like, it got desperate times. They need Saquon Barkley to dominate the game like last year. Or this is exactly like 2 years ago when they started out 10-1, but a lot of the wins were cobbled together. And listen, are you going to get two blocks to win a lot of games? Is that a formula?
No, but the Rams are a good team who had a big lead on you and you came back.
You blocked two field goals.
Yeah. Special teams.
Including what should have been the game winner.
The Jets gave too much time for Tampa Baker. Buccaneers beat the Jets on a late field goal, 29-27.
You know what? I hate to say it, but I did think it at the time. So the Jets have You get the blocked field goal. Will McDonald runs it back for the touchdown. And you got Aaron Glenn, the head coach, just like...
He hit that thing.
Peacocking down the sideline. And then you look at the time. They got a minute 26. Like, you guys are over. You're toast. And that's exactly what happened. I don't know if there was anyone, any Jets fan alive who did not think that somehow Tampa was going to win that game yesterday.
Well, I mean, you gave a quarterback like Baker Mayfield a minute and a half to get a field goal. I guess they should have maybe let them score something. I don't even know. Like, they needed the ball back. But E.J. Stewart, our buddy, who's off today, he was going to a wedding on Sunday, and he nailed it. He's like, wait, how are the Jets leading this game? Because I completely tuned out that game. Totally. 100%. But this is a big L for the Jets. They should be totally excited because they're going to draft a quarterback. Like, you can't afford to trip into some wins with Tyrod Taylor. You might even need to get him out of the lineup fast. He will win you some football games.
Long live the Fighting Ryan Hickeys. The Colts improved to 3-0, 41-20 winners over the Tennessee Titans.
Man, the Colts have some weapons. I said this earlier in the offseason. They got, you know, Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce, Tyler Warren, of course, the great Jonathan Taylor. Daniel Jones is getting a lot of hype, but when you look around that offense, like, ooh, there's some really good players here. And you know what? Their defense, it's partly because of the function of who they played, has looked amazing as well. 3-0 Colts. Daniel Jones getting a lot of the attention, but a lot of good things to look at here.
Okay, I'm sorry. I know Ryan Hickey's probably sitting out there. He's producing Bill Ryder's show, Who's Next? And I hate to do this because I know he can hear it, but I am not impressed with any of these wins. I got to see what happens against the Rams. Miami no-showed in week one. Completely just didn't even bother to get off the bus. You should have lost the game to Denver. You got a leverage penalty that allowed the kicker to re-kick the field goal, and then you won. No business winning that game. And Tennessee stinks. Their coach, we love Cam Ward, which makes this even harder to do. Their coach has no clue what's going on. He's costing them. Like, I'm sorry to Ryan and to the Colts. I want to see what it looks like against the LA Rams next week, the afternoon slate.
I was actually a little impressed, even if they had lost that Denver game. Like, that's a good team.
But is Denver good?
Yeah, I think they might be good. I know their defense is really good, at least, and Daniel Jones looked really good against them. Anyway, we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that game in a minute.
No Jaden Daniels down in the nation's capital. No problem for the Commanders. 41-24 winners over the Raiders.
Mariota's the best backup in the league. There's no question about it. He is super, super solid. I don't think it wasn't like last year where he had two games where he had a perfect rating, but he was really, really good. The game got a little dicey for a minute there where the Raiders made a little bit of a play, but generally, like, that was a very impressive win for me for Washington. Looks like they are a playoff team again.
Does anyone feel a little something when Mariota takes his helmet off and he's got gray hair?
Like, yes.
I'm like, oh no, he looks like Obama's second term. I'm like, you... When did you age? Were
Holy
you just
early onset?
He's fast.
Weren't you just winning the Heisman with Chip Kelly like 5 seconds ago?
He's super fast, by the way. Did you guys notice that on the play where he fumbled? I'm like, oh my god, he can fly.
I came away with this. I was like, what happened to the Raiders? The Raiders, when they came east to play the Patriots, who we know stink now, but they were like, the offense was getting going with some, you know, throwing the ball downfield, and I feel like the Raiders have kind of stalled out. Tom Brady, get out of the booth. Get to Las Vegas and really be a part of this team and try to change it. If not, suit up at quarterback.
I mean, that's a hard trip to go.
They just did a week one, though.
Yeah, to beat New England in week one, which week one is deceiving. Like, I don't think, even if the Raiders were going well, it's kind of hard to go into Washington and win that. That's not a game the Raiders usually win.
Go Chargers, go. Bolts 3-0 after a 23-20 win over the Broncos.
Did you see Justin Herbert's fourth quarter numbers? 12 for 15, 123 passing yards, 9 first downs, 1 TD. And they were crazy, too. Like, he was getting hit and throwing dimes into the end zone. He is, I hate to be like Jim Harbaugh, but he might have invented football, as Jim Harbaugh says. He looks incredible. Because that felt like a game they were going to lose the whole, you know, once Denver got the lead. I thought Denver was going to win that one, but he really hung in there.
To me, it was about the Chargers' defense. The game-winning drive, to get that game-winning field goal was really impressive. But, you know, in the fourth quarter, Broncos get a field goal. It's now 20-13, so one-score game, and the Broncos are leading. And then it's a nine-play drive. But the Chargers end up punting, and you're like, all right, this is where Denver's going to put the nail in the coffin. Nope, 3-and-out. And then Justin Herbert goes on a 7-play touchdown drive. So it's the defense to me. I think they have the best defense in the AFC.
The Seahawks, simply put, Seahawks curb stomped the Saints, 44-13, final score in Seattle.
I mean, what do you even say about this game? I mean, the Saints have to really just hope that one of these college quarterbacks really emerges, Pearl, as the no-doubt.
Well, they have Tyler Shucks in there.
So?
I mean, I don't know why they drafted him in the second round if they were going to play Spencer Rattler, who everybody liked coming into this week. Everyone was like, what a great story. Spencer Rattler's playing pretty well. I did not expect the Saints to roll over like that. Because the first 2 weeks, they did not roll over. This one, they just totally rolled over. I'm very curious if Sam Darnold can keep this up against better teams. They don't really have the toughest schedule for Seattle. But now I'm looking at them as a very, very potential playoff team.
The Bears put a punishing on the Dallas D, 31-14, the final in Chicago.
Everything just went right here for Chicago yesterday. You know, it looked like the marriage between Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams is just exactly what Bears fans had hoped it was going to be. You're throwing down the field to Roma Dunze. Luther Burden's getting involved. You know, Colson Loveland's getting involved. It's all the things you wanted. And then Dallas's defense is so god-awful. This is the elixir for every team whose offense is struggling. Just go play the Cowboys because, you know, it's not just they don't have a pass rush. The secondary stinks. Trayvon Diggs got hurt in the game, which didn't make it better. Pearl and CeeDee Lamb got hurt. So even the offense was a little stifled.
Yeah, I mean, the offense was moving the ball well in the first half, but then sort of gave up in the second half. That first touchdown by, I think it was Odunze, Trayvon Diggs slipped. That's when I knew. I wasn't sure if Caleb Williams was going to have the get-right game, but then it became, on the first drive, you could tell, this is going to be easy pickings.
Well, what was interesting is I was thinking that too, but then I'm like, I've been fooled by this before because the Bears have looked great in the first drive, or sometimes even the second drive. You know, Caleb will be like, hey, he's 10 for 11 or whatever, and then it falls apart in the second half. So, you know, good for them. They didn't score in the fourth quarter, but scored a touchdown in the third quarter and, on the flip side, held Dallas scoreless in the second half.
But actually, if you take the flea flicker long touchdown out, Caleb's numbers are still somewhat pedestrian. It feels like Ben Johnson does not want a high-octane passing attack. He wants to run the ball. That's where I really worry about Chicago, because even in this game, like, they didn't run the ball at all on the Cowboys. The Cowboys, you should be able to gash them in the air and the ground. DeAndre Swift had 33 yards rushing. So I think it's going to be two steps forward, one step back for the Bears. I don't think that this is fully forward.
Bang, bang. Niners eke out a one-point win against the Cardinals, 16-15, the final.
Man, we have not spent a lot of time on this game at all because it was gross. It was just I don't even know what you take. I think even the broadcast, they said this was a very ugly game, and they were right about it. But ultimately, you know, Mac Jones leads them on a drive late in the fourth quarter. It was not pretty. And San Francisco losing Nick Bosa in this game to a knee injury is something to keep an eye on.
It's such a bummer about James Conner. Hurt his ankle severely. We're already hearing rumors it might be done for the year. But Mac Jones sure looks pretty comfortable to me in that offense.
Really?
He actually moved the ball really well the whole game. I know they didn't score a lot of points.
16-15.
I'm not sure.
Game was like 9-6 or 6-6 felt like forever.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Mac Jones definitely like got a lot of first downs. Was yeah, the score was out there. You're right. They weren't explosive, but they were playing really conservative. Also, then Arizona's controlling the ball like crazy with, like, it's a Kyler Scamper, then it's a Trey McBride first down. So I don't know. When Mac Jones got in there at the end of the game, he looked pretty comfortable to me.
Apparently, it was unseasonably warm yesterday in San Francisco.
The Giants have played three games this season and have scored a touchdown in only one of them, much to my happiness, obviously. 22-9 Chiefs over the Giants on Sunday night at MetLife.
Poor Manny, his Giants. You guys are just, you got a lot of problems.
September 22nd, the season's over.
Well, you got Cam Scatabue, though. That was exciting.
Yay.
When he dove into the end zone, that was crazy.
They didn't even score a touchdown.
He scored the touchdown, and then he did the backflip.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. We missed the kick. I forgot about that.
Yeah. No, Scatabue.
I hate this team.
Everybody likes. Russ obviously turned back into a pumpkin last night, and they do this weird thing with Jackson Dart. Anyway, this is not about the Giants, really. It's about the Chiefs.
Right.
They're not all the way back. They won this game 22-9, but it doesn't look, Pearl, like they're anything close to what we were promised or what we expected with, like, a high-flying offense. It's nothing like that.
Not at all. I mean, this is probably a very scary time to be a Chiefs fan with Baltimore coming up. We'll see what Baltimore does tonight. The offense just is not dynamic enough, and you could beat the Giants, exactly as you said, but you have to be able to have a deep threat at some point. How many times did they're so horizontal? I know, I understand last night their O-line was having trouble with the Giants, but you can't just do one-yard pass.
Pearl,
Backward pass.
I was going to say, horizontal might be an upgrade.
Yeah,
some of these passes. Mahomes did this on both sides. They did it to the right, and they did it to the left, where he was throwing backwards passes to Isaiah Pacheco. Somebody there has to tell Pacheco that this is happening or blast that play into the sun. Never run it again. Because at one point they fumbled. Bobby Okereke picks the ball up, and Patrick Mahomes actually took the ball back from a linebacker.
How do you get babied like that, man?
he prevented a touchdown.
Yeah. It was a huge momentum shift at the end of that half, but whatever, we're out of time.
I mean, Bobby Okereke, you cannot.
Dude, get in the weight room, damn it. Get some creatine in your body.
Middle linebacker got the ball taken away from Dad Bod Mahomes.
He was afraid of a personal foul penalty.
Well. You're joking, of course.
Then you're playing scared, which is not good. Oh, boy. All right, so let's go. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Again, we had three blocked field goal attempts in three different games inside of 2 minutes. Yesterday was just nuts. Let us know how you felt about your team.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know
the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. Hey, we didn't do our come clean yet, Maggie.
Oh, oof.
You did mention that you'd keep on betting the Texans. I got burned. I got burned in a much more dramatic fashion, but it's a double-edged sword because my Eagles won, but I was sure that I was getting the Eagles win and the Rams cover. I got it at 3.5.
Ooh.
That was crazy. Can we just all talk about the fact that Jordan Davis decided to run back the block kick and blew up the spread for everybody out there? That's like an all-time bad beat, but everyone was actually focused because it was a big game. I cannot believe that one.
Yeah, that one was crazy because of the spread. The other return for the touchdown was the Jets, but then Baker Mayfield came down and kicked the field goal, and I believe they covered anyway. What was
Tampa Baker? I don't know what the number was.
Wait, I think the number was 6.5. What was the final score of that game?
29-27 was the final.
Okay, so the Jets covered anyway. Yeah, that I feel like more people, I guess, must have had money on that Eagle game because I saw more people talking about the spread in that game than any of them. So you got burned on that one. I did another stupid thing. I'll come clean on deciding to live bet the Cowboys coming out of halftime. I thought, well, surely the Bears are going to collapse in the second half like they have been in the first two games where things really got out of hand. Little did I know, that's just how terrible Dallas's defense is. And so I bet them at plus 380, and I lost a live bet with the Cowboys.
Yeah, that one didn't even come close.
Nope, not even close. And then I missed on the Texans. That was a pregame. Nah. I bet them to just win, and that was too much to ask.
I may or may not have gone on our friend Zach Gelb's show and said, watch those plucky Saints.
No, you didn't.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because I almost won with them the week before. I was like, you know what? I didn't believe Seattle. I'm like, Seattle is, you know, they're obviously like okay, but I didn't think Seattle was all that. And then that is not how the game went down.
Did you also get on the Gelb show and tell everybody to put the house on the Giants money line? What are you doing?
Well, I was doing great. My picks were doing good.
Was it the new white helmets for the Saints that had you feeling like, yeah, let's put some money on these
guys?
Those
were pretty sick.
Those were nice helmets. Yeah.
Can I tell you I did
good on my other picks. It was just that Saints 7.5. I was like, you know.
It was 28-3 in the first quarter.
No,
that game was unbelievable.
It was not good. It was not good. I'm like, you know, Seattle just wants to run Kenneth Walker into the line. They're just going to slow turn this and not let up any points. I had no idea. That was shocking. Saints fans on X were like, what is happening here? I thought we were good on defense, and it was not the case.
Yeah, the Cam Jordan cutaway shots are just really, really sad. But there was a moment just behind the scenes where it's Friday afternoon, and all of a sudden we get a text message. Did this go to the whole group, or maybe just me, Perloff? Anyway, it's Andrew Kaplan going, somebody's trying to get in our Zoom.
That was the Jigsaw Stars, yes.
So my heart sinks because it's like Friday at 4:30 or something. I'm like, did we forget that we have like
an interview that you guys forgot?
Brent Venables on the phone or something like that we forgot we had a Zoom call with a guest. And I'm like, wait, or maybe are we getting hacked right now? Is someone hacking into our Zoom? It was Perloff who was trying to use our Zoom to go on Zach Gelb's show on Friday.
How'd that work out for you, Pearl?
I thought that was a slight overreaction from Cap. But by the way, because I wasn't trying to run the Zoom, I visit bad Zoom links all the time. Like, I'm surprised.
No, but it was our Zoom. That's just for our show.
Right, but I don't have administrative control.
No.
I click on links all the time.
No, but presumably Samter would have sent you a link, email. No,
he didn't send me a link, audience. So I'm like,
what's that?
He forgot to send me a link.
Oh, okay, so you were just clicking.
I click on Zoom links all the time, like that are outdated.
Text messages too?
What's that?
With the links on the click here for your information.
Yeah. You know what?
Reschedule your delivery.
It was more just my anxiety of, oh my gosh, did we forget? And now all of a sudden, someone famous is on line one, and like I got to run upstairs.
Instead, we got a reporter too.
But that's not it. That's what I don't really understand. Like, that's not hacking a Zoom link. Like, I don't have any administrative control. Like, somebody visited our Zoom link. Probably happens all the time. Does he get?
It's our private Zoom link.
Yeah, but we give it out to guests and stuff.
That's true.
Yeah, it's private. But no, just a link, click into it is not a huge deal, right? Like, to actually, like, to try to host a Zoom would be problematic, right?
No, there's nothing that can happen. I understand it, but it took me by surprise, put it that way. And I thought something was wrong.
I thought Perloff was getting hacked, and that hacker was trying to get into our Zoom. I don't know what that hacker would do in that Zoom.
Once
they would realize that there's nobody there, he's not able to rob anybody.
And you can't even get
sports takes.
I don't think you can even get into the actual Zoom room, but it's just that
yeah,
was
because
funny.
Like,
yeah, you'll just be waiting in the lobby because Cap would have to let you in.
Yeah, that's why I was curious. Like, Cap made it seem like a huge breach was underway.
I think I think Cap was just saying something is happening.
I thought there was maybe it was Maggie's reaction. I thought there was like a 4-alarm fire going on.
No,
I think there was a small little spark that happened for Kaplan, and then Maggie just, you know, made it into a 4 or 5 alarm fire.
All of a sudden it was like, you know, Ian Rappaport sitting there waiting for us.
Oh, see, that never even dawned on me. I thought he was saying someone is trying to take over our Zoom feed for whatever reason. And I'm not sure what you could do, what you had. Even if they did have our Zoom feed, I'm not quite sure what they would do with it.
It would just be a black screen, more or less, saying, we're waiting for the host to let you in.
Let's get to Bogish, who's got the latest. What's up?
Well, no team or fan base deserved this less.
The ball is spotted. The kick is away. It's blocked! It's blocked! It's picked up by the Eagles. Running with it is Davis. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Game over! Jordan Davis!
Are you kidding me?
Locked him again!
Are you kidding me?
Locked him again! Have you ever seen anything like this?
Nope, and let's never do it again.
Happiness fuels my anger.
The Eagles blocking the Rams' last two field goal attempts yesterday afternoon. You just heard the second. The block alone was good enough to beat the Rams, but Jordan Davis decided to chug 61 yards for a touchdown. That only changed the final score. Davis was clocked as fast as 18.59 miles an hour, the fastest someone over 330 has run since at least 2017.
I seen the ball on the ground, and then at that point, I knew it was a no-my situation, but we just took off from there. I wanted possession, so I wanted to make sure that we ended the game right. Didn't know I was going to go that fast. Didn't know I was going to make it all the way to the end zone. Just started running, and my legs carried me from there.
Now, Bogus, did you have a radar gun clocking the speed of a Mr. Davis?
I didn't, but I believe AWS did.
Oh, that's where you got your numbers from. Sure.
So remember, Jordan Davis ran like the craziest combine 40?
Yeah,
so now we have to start paying. The 40 is real. He ran a 4.78 at the 40, which was the greatest 40 for a 360-pounder of all time.
God bless.
That's why the Eagles took him. It finally paid off.
Well, and the guys on TV said he's lost weight.
Yeah,
in the
off season.
25 pounds.
Yeah, Peloton.
Yeah, him and Jalen Carter coming up the middle on that field goal. Terrifying.
It's awful.
The Eagles win yesterday, 33-26. They were down 26-7 early in the third quarter. Jalen Hurts accounting for four scores, three throwing, and one running.
It was right there, L.A.
The Jets blocked a field goal and returned it for points for a late one-point lead in Tampa, but the Bucs had time to set up another field goal. This one was good. They stole the game back, 29-27. Baker Mayfield might have rewrote history a little post-game.
Their D coordinator was the one that cut me in Carolina, so it was a lot of stuff was personal today. Hassan Reddick, former Jet, a lot of people.
Well, okay, so Steve Wilks is on the Jets staff right now, and he was the Panthers head coach when Baker was there. But there is a version of reality where Baker asked to be released because he didn't want to be a backup in Carolina.
Mm. Right, it was more about benching him?
Right, but he made it seem like he was fired in Carolina. Now, he was benched, and then he said, I want to go, and they're like, okay, you can go. So it's not exactly like Steve Wilks doing him wrong in Carolina.
Also, didn't more people have done Steve Wilks wrong than probably Baker.
Yeah, he also mentioned Hassan Reddick, who was a Jet for like 7 seconds. I don't think that counts. The only personal aspect to this game yesterday is Todd Bowles coaching against the Jets.
Yeah, that might be real. But again, now that was a really long time ago.
Right.
There was no Jet fan alive who thought they were winning that game, even after the after the field goal was blocked and they ran it back for a touchdown, because there was way too much time left.
Mm. I mean, I think the Bucs had a clear letdown game there, by the way. They did not seem super engaged after the first two dramatic big wins.
Well, they got off to this really big lead and then just kind of like let their foot off the gas and the Jets came back.
Yeah, I mean, even so, like they didn't seem like they were all that into that game. I don't know like what to take away from that game. If you take anything away from that game, you'd be kind of worried about the Bucs, I think. But
well,
I don't
know. It's a miracle to win. Now they play your Eagles next week.
Yeah, that'd be really interesting. They have a lot of hard games coming up. They're going to win the division at 10-7 and go out in the first round, just if anyone is curious. Or 11-6, maybe.
There is a pill for this, but for now, the Falcons don't have a
Michael Penix
problem. Michael Penix did not finish yesterday's 30-0 loss in Carolina. He was not pulled for playing badly. Raheem Morris took him out as a precaution for their starting QB. And again, it was decided. So we had a little Kirk Cousins yesterday, but there is no quarterback controversy brewing in Atlanta. And Sunday Night Football saw the Chiefs fight off the Giants 22-9 in Jersey for their first win of the season.
There ain't no fighting there.
I mean, it was 9-6 at halftime.
Yeah, but it felt like it was 35-0.
And it wasn't 220-9. It was not pretty by the Chiefs. It didn't solve all their problems last night.
It still felt like the Giants were down 3 touchdowns at that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they weren't going to win, but I mean, it was at least numerically close for a while.
Good thing you saw Jackson Dart for 3 plays.
Exactly.
This makes me sad. What do you got next?
What makes me sad? You guys were all sweet yesterday texting about the crazy end of the 1 o'clock games as if the Mets weren't losing like this at the exact same
sorry,
moment.
Buddy.
Pitch to Alvarez. Swing on a fly ball. Well hit to center. Back goes Young onto the track. He jumps. He made the catch and crashes into the padded wall, holding onto the ball.
He may have taken a home run away, Howie.
Oh, he did, Howie. Jacob Young in full retreat, snatching a line drive just before it hit the railing behind the center field fence at Citi Field. He had already made a catch where he crashed into that same fence, lost control of the ball, but kicked it back into the air so he could grab it securely. His Nats, a 3-2 heartbreaking win over the Mets, who technically do not have a wild card spot this morning, losing a tiebreaker to the Reds for the last spot.
Panic meter?
How high does it go?
Do we have one anymore?
Up to a 10.
It's been broken since, like, I don't know, the beginning of July.
Ray told me about an hour ago that it was at 12.
Yeah. Angry Met fan here.
He stopped watching. He's turned the notifications off.
The notifications are off.
That's impressive.
After yesterday?
It's been off for a month. I am off the Mets.
You know, probably better because yesterday was particularly painful. What else you got?
As long as you got the Lakers, though.
The Brewers, by the way, clinched the NL Central again yesterday. Syracuse QB Steve Angeli reportedly suffered a torn Achilles in Saturday's upset win at Clemson, and the Fever stole game one of round two of the WNBA playoffs in Vegas, 89-73, behind 34 points from Kelsey Mitchell. Asia Wilson won her fourth MVP award pregame, but then went 6-for-22 for those aces. Guys, back to you.
All right. Can I read the text message, by the way, from Friday? It's Andrew Kaplan, who runs the show here, really.
Brilliant. He's been defending himself on the YouTube chat.
Yeah. Got a notification that someone just joined our Zoom, period. Are we being hacked, period. Maggie Gray?
Was that the first thing I wrote?
Yeah. Does that sound like... we're being hacked.
Well, I was more nervous that we forgot something.
No, it didn't sound like it.
That was what was going on in my brain.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know how you would hack someone via their Zoom feed. Can you get into someone's bank account by being in the Zoom?
I'm assuming we have some kind of, well, maybe we don't because ours is a corporate account, but you have to put your credit card information if you want to have a Zoom that's more than 15 minutes or something.
But yeah, I guess
they can
right.
hack anything now.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember when
the truth is we're probably getting hacked right now.
This moment while we're all yakety yakking about sports. Meanwhile, the hackers are at work. Do you guys remember when I gave you that story about I almost got hacked about the person calling claimed to be from the bank?
Mm-hmm.
And I got really
close. Such a common one, yeah.
And it ended up making the New York Times.
Yeah.
That specific scam.
Big time. Yeah. That's not the only one that has been widely reported on. Gosh, I almost fall for those still every time. And I know that people are trying to hack me every day.
It's crazy.
And yeah, I mean, you're a reporter too.
It's a bummer about Steve Angeli, you know, the former Notre Dame quarterback last year, then goes to Syracuse. They have this all-time win against Clemson in Clemson, and he tears his Achilles. Oh, brutal. Some other big injuries that happened yesterday, which we'll get to, 888-710-4ISN. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Okay. Do you think we learned more about the Bears this weekend, Pearl, or do you think we learned more about another team? Like, who do you think the Bears had the big win against the Dallas Cowboys? Things were just really working against Chicago. They were. Everyone was piling on because of how bad it looked against Detroit, and it turns out the Dallas Cowboys defense will provide you the palette to which to paint a very beautiful picture on offense. But is it real?
Yeah, I expect the Bears to take a small step back. I think we overreacted to how bad their offense looked the first 2 weeks. I thought it was, especially week two, was a little bit better against Detroit.
And not the final score, but yeah.
But they still had, they had, you know, they scored 21 points. So that wasn't the problem. I think that what we saw yesterday is not the real Bears, or somewhere in between. The defense also, by the way, not perfect. Cowboys move the ball pretty easily against them. So we'll see. I don't, if I had to guess right now, I would not put them as a playoff team. But that's not a hot take, obviously. They're 1-2. But I don't think that this is the year it all comes together. So I think, I guess I'm saying yesterday was a bit of an aberration.
Yeah. Listen, the Dallas defense played a role. No doubt about that.
Big
and
time.
The Dallas offense losing CeeDee Lamb took away their biggest playmaker. George Pickens did a nice job, but they just did not have enough. And that all helps, right? That all helped the Bears. Everything was going so well. But I do think that this could be a bit of a turning point for them, because it was all the things that you thought you were going to see. It was nothing crazy outside the box. Got a little more creative play calling, so that's really cool.
But they can't run it. They can't run it at all. That is a huge problem for Ben Johnson's. You know, he's supposed to be the creative run play where the Lions, you never knew it was going to hit you with David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, where DeAndre Swift, you know exactly what's going to hit you, a 1.5 yard gain.
Yeah, and Kyle Manungai, the other backup, right? So they go to Las Vegas next week. So that's a pretty big test. Is there another team that you were particularly, I was also particularly impressed by your Eagles, that you guys were down and out in that game. The Rams had you dead to right. The crowd's booing you. You couldn't get anything going. And I thought Jalen Hurts and then the defense really took over that game.
But why did it, why wasn't Kevin Petullo, the new offensive coordinator, throwing the ball up until this point? Like, what the heck was he doing? Like, does he need that kind of wake-up call to be down? Like, kind of makes me wonder about his judgment.
Yeah, I totally get that. But then they turned it on, and A.J. Brown was a revelation. Devontae Smith was awesome in the second half.
They were forced to turn it on. Again, started to remind me a lot of 2 years ago when they came out of the Super Bowl, went 10-1, but it was a lot of smoke and mirrors. But there are definitely problems. They lost a ton of talent in the offseason, coaching and personnel. How about, for me, that one throw by Justin Herbert is stuck in my head. Mm. There's a guy draped all over him, and he finds someone in the end zone, a pinpoint pass. He was unbelievable in the clutch for the Chargers. And I'm starting to wonder, is Jim Harbaugh right about Justin Herbert?
He said it was his job to get Justin Herbert to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I think it's actually their defense that's the more impressive part of the Chargers situation.
Really? You're not impressed with Justin Herbert?
No, I definitely am, but I always thought he had talent. And yeah, maybe Harbaugh will take it to another level, but the defense to me is what always had the... I feel like they... I don't say they're more responsible for chargering than the offense, but because, you know, Herbert threw 5 picks
all
in the playoff
three phases
game.
And, with Charger.
But to be fair, this is a tough opponent in the Broncos. I think the Broncos are a tough opponent. I'm still not sure. And then my other big takeaway is I hate to be that person to be the dark storm cloud over a good story, but I just don't trust the Colts yet. I think their opponents played a lot into this 3-0 start. Miami no-showed. They should have lost that game to the Broncos in week 2. They got a leverage call that allowed the kicker to re-kick the field goal. And then yesterday, the Titans are just not very good. So I think the schedule has helped them a little bit, and I'm curious to see what happens when they go to the Rams. They're a 4.5-point underdog.
It's the Colts. They're in the AFC South. What do you think the rest of their schedule looks like? Well, it's not going to be murderer's row. Like, you're in the AFC South. Who cares?
Well, the one thing that's crazy about it is you have Houston, who's 0-3. So, you know, we thought that Houston was going to be better offensively. Their defense is still good, but the offense is really bad. I mean, the offensive line is terrible. C.J. Stroud has regressed. The wide receivers let them down. I don't even know what to make of this offense. Like, do you fire the offensive coordinator 3 games into the season? Yeah. I don't even know. Honestly, I don't know what D'Amico Ryans does here. Nothing's changed.
No, I don't think you fire. I mean, listen, they started out with the Rams. That defense is great. Then the Bucs, and then the Jags. They should have won this game. I felt like there was a certain point in the game where I'm like, oh, okay, finally the Texans are going to get a win. And they totally, completely imploded and blew it. They get a win next week at week 4 against Tennessee.
Yeah, but then it's at Baltimore, at Seattle, and San Francisco. I don't know. I don't know. So anyway, that's just a little, I guess, of what we learned, unless you had another big takeaway. Oh, and the Packers losing on another really crazy game where a field goal gets blocked inside of 2 minutes and it end up setting up a game-winning field goal for the Browns.
Yeah, my takeaway from that game was different than yours. I think the Browns are super salty on defense, and that was a function of that. One thing about globally, like we are starting to see like a race to the bottom in a major way. We know there's some really bad teams out there. The question is, and you and I have been kind of circling around this, like there's nobody to tank for. So what's the point of being really bad? It's just depressing.
Well, I don't know if for some of these teams if the point was to be bad. Like, I don't think Houston, the point was not to be bad.
No, but I don't think they're going to be a 1, 2, or 3 win team. But I think there are a bunch of those teams out there. You know, you see both teams in New York look like they're going to be really bad. I think the Saints are going to be really, really bad. You know, it's so funny. Atlanta doesn't have a first-round pick. I think they're going to be in the bottom half of the draft. It just feels like there's a lot of inept football going on right now. Maybe the Patriots, even though they have their quarterback, they might be really bad. Dolphins obviously are been vying for the number one pick.
You know what's funny about the Patriots? You can't even tell Mike Vrabel's coaching that team. That could be Gerard Mayo. It's the same stuff. Like, Mayo got fired for this. Like, Ramondre Stevenson is still fumbling the ball. They had 5 turnovers in this game. You know, Drake May was looking good at the end of last season when Gerard May was the coach. Vrabel was supposed to come in and tighten up the ship. And they ran 71 plays yesterday to the Steelers, 41, mm-hmm. and lost. I mean, 5 at home.
Yep.
5 turnovers will
do
that.
Big test tonight. Do the Ben Johnson-less Lions have the firepower to go head-to-head with the best offense in the league in the Ravens?
What's the over-under for this game?
The total is high, 53.5. Baltimore's 4.5 point favorites. That's a huge total.
I still think it goes over.
Me too.
And yes, I do think that the Lions have enough offensive firepower to hang with the Ravens, and I actually think the Lions are going to win this game. Thank you to Manny Rodriguez. Thank you,
totally
Ray Jarvis.
Disagree.
We'll see who's right tomorrow. Thank you, Andrew Bogus, Andrew Kaplan. Weedos!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.